How the truth can set us free. John chapter 8. Let me just rehearse a little bit by going back to Romans chapter 6. If you will, please, verse 16, 17, and 18. We need to have the realization of my need for freedom in my life. I need to understand that I need to be free. We talked about that this morning. Let me just rehearse a little bit. Some folks think they are not in slavery. They're not in bondage at all. But that's not what the Scripture says. If we read the Scriptures rightly, in fact, starting with verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be of Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? That's exactly where a lot of people are today. I am not in bondage, Pastor. I don't need this message. I don't need these kinds of thoughts. I don't need are you. I'm not in any kind of bondage. I'm not in any kind of slavery. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, oh, yes, you are. You don't understand. You are in bondage. They answered him, we be of Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage. Jesus answered them, verse 34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. In other words, you are the slave of sin. You're going to be a slave to somebody, by the way. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now go to that Roman scripture, Romans chapter 6, verse 16, 17, and 18. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Either you are tonight a servant of sin, or you are a servant of righteousness. We are in bondage tonight and don't even know it in many cases. But ladies and gentlemen, God came to set you free. He wants everybody to be set free. We need to have the realization, I think, in my heart, my mind, that I need freedom in my life. I think if you will listen tonight, your life will not be the same. If you understand what I'm going to preach tonight. Now, I'm going to warn you, I may get a little excited. I don't know yet. I got excited while I was studying. So I may just get a little excited. If you will, just get a little excited with me. We have a number of folks who called me and said they couldn't make it tonight because of the weather, but they were going to listen by way of radio. So you on the radio, if you're listening, get excited with us and say amen and praise the Lord. Some of our folks said, I cried with you when you cried, preacher. I shouted when you shouted. That's wonderful. I just want you all to be in church when you're shouting with me and so on. But you can do that at home, so that's fine. I love to have you listen to the Word of God. Life will not be the same. This passage, I believe, has liberating power. Now, don't turn me off any part of the message. I'm going to tell you the truth that I think will free your life and give you an experience of liberty and freedom like you've never experienced before. Freedom. What do we mean by that word, freedom? Freedom is the release from the bondage of these things. The release from attitudes, habits in life that are hindering me from becoming that person that God wants me to become, and free from achieving the things that God wants me to achieve. I've got to be free in my life to become who God wants me to become, and I got to be free in my life to achieve what God wants me to achieve. There is certain potential God has for everybody's life. There is a freedom you need to experience so that you can do what God wants you to do, so you can be what God wants you to be. I thought about this for a long time. We all have been programmed from childhood. And I preached about this thought some years ago, about how that life is a grid system, and everything comes through your grid system. And your grid system is actually constructed and built from a child all the way up. And I'll tell you who are most responsible for your grid systems is your parents, your teachers, your friends, and your TV. And today, computers. Those things are forming people's lives and the way they think more than anybody will ever know. Those are the formers of our grid system. But there are things that are hindering us. You either have thoughts of love or have thoughts of rejection, depending on what your parents have done, or your pastor has done, or your friends have done, or what the TV has done to you. We have all been programmed from childhood. The life is like a grid system. From baby, these things start. Positive or negative things are all filtered, ladies and gentlemen, through your grid system. Therefore, we respond. It's a law. It's a principle. I will act. Now listen to this. I will act according to the way I see myself, regardless of the way I am. You are going to act the way you see yourself rather than the way you are. You see yourself through your grid system. You see, we can never change that until somehow we change our attitude toward ourselves. That's why some folks have a difficult time coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Their life has been through a grid system. They've been trained a certain way. They've lived their life a certain way, and they just can't change. You know, you've tried to help people for years to maybe quit smoking or quit drinking or quit carousing like they do, and they'll stop for a while. They'll even come to church, and sometimes they'll even join a church, and sometimes they'll change their life for a while. But as you have noticed over the years, some of those same people go right back in to their former lifestyle of how they lived, how they thought, how they talked. You know why? Because that was their grid system. That's how they were programmed all their life. And the only person who can change that is not a church, is not a preacher, is not a bunch of teaching. The only one who can change your grid system is the God of heaven through salvation. And if you really get saved, if you really know Christ, if you really get in touch with Him and learn about Him, He will literally change your life. But if you don't allow Him to do that, your grid system will take over and you'll go right back to the same filthy junk you came out of. And I've seen so many people over the years who play church, who come because it's a good thing, who come because I think it might be a good thing for me to do at this point in my life, but they're not serious with God. And they fall right back in their grid system of how they were built, how they were grown up. You see, the way you think and the way you see yourself is the way you're going to respond in life. You say, preacher, is there any Bible for that? There is. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, if you think you grow up and you're fat and ugly, you're going to think all the time you're fat and ugly. And you're going to think about inferiority complexes and trouble in your life. And then you're going to think everybody's picking on you and everybody's talking about you. If you haven't a high education, you're going to think about yourself in a poor manner. Nobody else knows about your education, but you're going to let them know. And you'll show yourself. Because your grid system tells you, I'm stupid, I'm not very smart, I don't have much about me. And you're going to reveal that stuff. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Somehow we need to get our grid system changed, and the only one who can do that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can do it. We must actually have our minds reprogrammed. The renewing, in fact, that's what the Scripture says. We need to have the renewing. Remember that verse of Scripture? We need to have the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that acceptable and perfect will of God in our lives. The renewing of our mind. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, I've got to have the renewed mind. These attitudes of inadequacies, inferiority, worthlessness are very binding attitudes. If I know the truth, the truth will deliver me from that kind of bondage and give me liberation and give me freedom. Again, let me repeat that meaning of freedom. What is freedom? It is a release from the bondage of those things like attitudes and habits in my life that are hindering me from becoming the person God wants me to become and from achieving what God wants me to achieve. How many of you know people who will tell you, well, I just can't do anything? I tried this church idea. I tried to go to church. I tried to read the Bible. I tried to study, but I can't change. How many people know people like that? Let me see your hand. You know people like that. And they've said, well, I've tried. I just can't do it. There's no way. I can't do it. I just can't do it. Because that's what their grid system tells them. That's how they were programmed. That's how they were brought up. Parents, a lot of times, some of this stuff comes from us. As parents, for example, Johnny, would you straighten up? I wish you'd act like your brother Sammy. Sammy is such a good boy, and you're such a rotten little kid. You know what you're doing? You're making Sammy think he's wonderful, and Johnny thinks he's awful. And he'll go through life thinking how awful he is. And he'll go through life thinking how good he is. And he'll be braggadocious and he'll be in the poorhouse. Because every day you told him how rotten he was and how he didn't compare with your brother, or you didn't compare with your sister. And parents, sometimes we make major mistakes here, trying to teach our children the right things in the wrong ways. And we build inferiority complexes. You know, if you're smart like your brother, you'd be so much better off. But you're just a dumb box of rocks. That doesn't sit well with kids. Now, we laugh about that and go, ha, 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 that's so funny. That kid didn't think it was funny. And he took offense at that, but he didn't tell you that. But all of a sudden, his grid system is being built in the wrong way. Then he comes into church and he gets saved as a young man of 20, 25. Now, I have to deal with that. Because then he sits there and says, preacher, I can't overcome anything. Yes, you can. No, I'm just a stupid dummy. Well, where'd you get that idea? I was told that all my life, preacher. You understand what I'm saying? I was told that all my life by my parents. They formed in that mind the wrong attitude. Sometimes in Christian schools we make that mistake. We've got some kids here that are really good kids. Then we got some other kids here in this Christian school that are just a mess. We preachers have messed that up. We've told our congregation, there's some good people in our congregation. Boy, some of you folks are just lousy. Now we're trying to sit around and think who's lousy and who's good. That kind of stuff should never be done. We're forming the wrong kind of grid system in our minds. And what we think about, that's what we become. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. These attitudes of inadequacy and inferiority and worthlessness, I try never to build that in my children or in my grandchildren. Never. Don't build that kind of stuff. You can do it. You can be an overcomer. You can be a conqueror. You can be a winner. You can do it. Get out there and do it. That's what we need. We don't need a bunch of stuff that, well, now, honey, sit back. It's just like my wife. There's a dozen of people in this church who play instruments, and she talks to them all the time. Now, I'm not trying to get folks to come play instruments that don't want to play, but, well, I don't have the ability. Well, you used to play in a band at school. Why don't you play for Jesus? Well, you used to sing in a school choir. Why don't you sing in a church choir? Why is the world better than the church? And then when we have the ability, it's like me. Now, I don't know how to play a saxophone, but I wish I did. So the other day, I took my saxophone to get repaired. I'm going to surprise some of you people someday. But but it's at the repair shop getting all fixed up. And I'm going to get with Holly Harper someday when I get enough nerve. And I'm going to say, Holly, you sit down here and teach me how to do this thing. Holly, I'm getting it all fixed up. We're going to get together. Now, if we have the ability, why don't we just step out and do it? Come on, amen. If you continue in my word, did you notice that phrase in this book? Let's go back to the phrase. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now, if I continue in the word, and preacher, I do. I read the Bible every day and I pray, but I still am not free. Why aren't I free? You see, men who read the Bible but are lost will never be set free until they're saved. Men can read the Bible who are lost, but the Bible will never do anything for a man that's lost until he gets saved. Do you understand this? That you cannot understand this Bible unless you're saved? You can read it, you can understand it as far as the knowledge of man, but you cannot understand God without being saved. These things are hidden for God's people, God's men. Now, there's other people who read this Bible, and here's a second point. You don't read this Bible just for information. The Bible is to be read not just for information, but that you will someday know God. I am not going to sit around and just read the Bible just to try to find information. Now, there are some people who want to read the Bible just enough to have information so they can argue about the Bible. They're not necessarily saved. They don't even know God. But they want to have enough information that they can just fuss with somebody about what you believe versus what they believe. That's crazy. That's not why you're supposed to read the Bible. The Bible is to be read not just for information, but that you can know God and know who He is and let Him be a part of your life. It's not just in the mind, but it must be absorbed. It's got to be in the very being of my soul. I'm telling you, I cannot receive the things of God unless it's absorbed in my body, in my life. I am not seeking God just for information. I'm seeking God because I really want to know God. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. That's what the man of God said. I don't want to know just information about God. I don't want to know just information about heaven. I don't want to come to a little Bible class and just learn a little knowledge. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Why? Because I want to be set free. I want freedom. Freedom to do what? To become what God wants me to become and to achieve what God wants me to achieve. That's where it's at. Now, I don't want to just seek the one who wrote the book. I want to know Him. And then I need to apply what I read. So many of us read, but it never absorbs in us and it never penetrates us. I see people for 20, 30 years going to church, but they never change. And the reason they don't change is because they never absorb it. They never push through. They don't seem to have it penetrate them. You see, if you still read the Bible, but you're holding on to willful, deliberate sin in your life, you will never be free. If there's folks under the sound of my voice, I know from time to time there are people who come into our church and they sit here with all kinds of habits. Now, a lot of habits are hidden today. Whether it be an alcoholic habit, whether it be an immoral habit, whether it be a computer habit, whether it be pornography habit, you've got it hid from a lot of people. But you don't have it hid from God. But if we think, I am going to go to church, I'm going to get over there and get my songbook open, I'm going to sing, I'm going to praise God, but you will never be free to become who God wants you to become and to do what God wants you to do if you're sitting there in that seat with willful disobedience to God. We know certain things are wrong. We know we shouldn't do it. We know there's certain places we should not go. We know there's activities we should not be a part of. And if we continue to do that, we're never going to be free. You never will be. We have to ask God in this little series to open up our hearts, see ourselves and have understanding, not to be holding on to anything. I cannot deliberately hold on to my sin and violate the principles of God's word and have freedom. It just doesn't work that way. This will isolate you from freedom. It will literally block off the truth. You'll have no peace. You'll have no joy. You'll have no freedom. There's an aspect about freedom that I think you need to understand so that you can have freedom. And we all fight this. You saw the altar service this morning. The altar was full because people struggle with these things all the time. We are in bondage all the time. We need to know how to be free. Now, I know the truth about this position that I'm going to talk about, but this is the position that helped me more than anything else in my life. I struggled like anybody else struggled early on in my Christian life, with thoughts and attitudes and bondages of all sorts. I was at the altar all the time as a young teenager. I was always struggling with so many things in my life. But eventually, when I became a young man and started preaching, I started to study this position. I had to change even when I found out what the truth of God's word was. I had to change from what I had been taught all my life to now what the truth of the Bible was. It was a big change for me. And some of you don't understand where I came from, but where I came from didn't believe like we do today. And I was stayed in this situation. Now, knowing what I know, I am so free. And God has blessed me so much in my mind. And he will bless you too, in your mind. But you've got to come God's way. Now listen, here's the aspect. I must know, to get total freedom, I must know the truth about my position in Christ. I call it my security in the Lord. I've got to know this. So let me help you with this. What is my security based on? What is your security based on? Think about this a minute. What is your security in life based on? Do you have settled peace? Now, I'll be honest. There's a lot of things in my life that are chaotic and sometimes traumatic, but I have this wonderful, settled peace. I mean, things around me can just be blowing up, and yet there's a settled peace. There's something going on that's called a settled peace. I believe that everybody who's saved and born again ought to have this settled peace. There is no reason for us to be in bondage. There is no reason for us to be in these fits of torment, anxiety. So, let's go. Number one, Roman numeral one. What is my position in Christ? This is actually Roman numeral two. What is my position in Christ? Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter one. Now, this will all be on the screen, but I want you to actually get your Bible because I want to show you this in Ephesians chapter one. Now, Brother Wolf last night did a wonderful job at his speaking engagement there at the Sweetheart Banquet. It was powerful. It was wonderful. But I want to show you something in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go down to verse number 3. My position means relationship with Christ. What's my position? It means, what is my relationship with Christ? Well, first of all, if you find Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, notice, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? Thank you, Brother Mott. In Christ. In Christ. Now, in these verses, verse 1, verse 3, verse 4, verse 6, verse 7, verse 9, verse 10, verse 13, it's all about in the beloved or in Christ. I'm not going to take time to read every one of those verses, but let me tell them to you again. Verse 3, verse 4, in love. You see, and according as he hath chosen us in him, also before him in love. Verse 4, that's what it says. Everything's a relationship. It's all about being in Christ. Look at verse number 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable. In the beloved. In the beloved. You see? Number 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It's all in him. Verse 9. It's again, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Everything's in Christ. In Christ. You see the references back and back again. Verse number 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. There it is. All things in Christ. All these verses, it's a relationship. Verse number 13, in whom also you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's also in whom? In him. In all those verses, everything. It's the relationship you have and you build with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not build a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never have freedom, and you'll always be in some kind of bondage. You'll always worry about something. You'll always be stressed about something. Something's always wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to understand, first of all, my position in Christ is in Christ. I am in Christ. That is so important. Now, in him, that's a relationship. It's a position. Are you going to believe the Bible or how you feel? Well, I don't feel like I'm in him. Didn't ask that question. I said, are you going to believe the Bible or are you going to believe your feelings? Your feelings say, I'm in him only when you feel good. But you're in him no matter how you feel. If you've been saved, born again, you are in him. The word is more trustworthy. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. When did that happen? When did you get in him? Well, I believe it was at salvation. When you got in him, you got in him at salvation. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. There it is. Before you were saved, by the way, before you were saved, you were in what? Or in who? Who are you in? Anybody know? Anybody Bible scholar here? Before you got saved, you were in Satan's family. And the Bible says you were in Adam. Right? You're in Adam. That's the first Adam. But after you got saved, When salvation came, you were in Christ. Now think about this. I want to know how you got from there to here. Now, it says in the Word of God, before you were saved, you were in Adam. You were in transgressions. You were in your sin. And when you were in your transgressions, and when you were in your sins, did the Bible say this or not? You were dead in your sins. Now, you were walking around, you were alive, but the Bible says you were dead. Come on, amen? The Bible says you were in Adam, and when you were in Adam, you were in transgressions, you were in sin, and you were dead. You were a walking around dead man. You walked around, you fellowshiped, you talked, you ate, but you were dead. You were dead to what? You were dead in your sins. It's exactly what the Scripture says. But when you were saved, you became a new creation. The Bible says when you got in Christ, when you got saved, listen everybody, you became a new creature. It's the work, I'm telling you, of the Holy Spirit. It's not the work of this church. It's not the work of this preacher. That is the work, the great work of the Holy Spirit of God. He translates you out of being in Adam, and he takes you over the gulf, and he puts you over there in Christ. And that's the wonderful work, not of this church, not of this preacher, but of God Almighty. Now, notice what he says. Go to Romans chapter 6. I don't think I have it on Tammy's notes back there, but everybody go to Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 1. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. You were taken out of Adam and you were put in Christ. By the way, when you were taken out of Adam and put in Christ, you may not have felt it. You may not have, but you may have. When I was 13, I got saved. I got taken out of Adam and I got put in Christ. And I want you to know, I felt it. Now, not everybody feels it. But I did, and I cried like a baby at age 13. I felt so good going to an altar and saying, "Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I want to be born again," and I cried and I wept, and all those little old ladies who were around me, because that's what was around me, was those little old ladies with their hands on me saying, "Oh, dear Jesus, bless him as he gets saved," and shaking my shoulders and shaking my hair. But that was okay. I got it. Now, how many of you felt something when you got saved? I'll be honest. Now, how many of you didn't feel anything? You just trusted God. You didn't feel nothing necessarily. See? Now, are you just as saved? Yeah, because you're in Christ. You see, it's not how you feel. Everybody get this, please? You may not feel anything when he translates you from being in Adam to being in Christ, but you will be saved. Now, in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? This is talking about the relationship with Christ. This is not just talking about water baptism here. This is talking about the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. You were baptized, according to that verse, into whom? Anybody pick it up? Who were you baptized into? Into Jesus Christ. Come on, everybody say it out loud. Who were you baptized into? Jesus Christ. By whom were you baptized? The Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit baptized you into Christ. Now, when that happened, when did that happen? Time of salvation. Yeah, boy, we're learning some good stuff tonight. I'm telling you, that's exactly the truth. Doesn't it excite you? When did you get baptized? When I got saved. I was baptized into whom? Jesus Christ. Who baptized me? The Holy Spirit of God. One time I was in Adam. I was in sin. I was dead in my sin. But I got baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit of God at salvation. And that day, from that day on, you are now in Christ. I'm in Christ. Verse 3, I baptized. What's that mean? That means be placed in a new environment. You say, a new environment? Yeah, a new relationship, a newness of life. You say, well, I got baptized, it wasn't anything new. No, you see, the baptism doesn't save you in water. It's a picture of what happened to you. Now, if you don't think you're in a new environment, when I put Ann under the water, I'd like to see her breathe while she's under there. No, she can't breathe underwater. It's a new environment. We are now buried with Christ. And when we come up out of the water, we are resurrected. It's a picture of our resurrection with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the great resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a picture, ladies and gentlemen, of what Jesus Christ has done with us and for us. And now, since I've been saved and born again, I today am now in Christ. I keep that thought. And by the way, I have a new position. You know, I really have two addresses. And you who have been born again, so do you. I live at 234 Hamer Street, Clyde, Ohio. But I also live with Jesus Christ in heaven. I have two addresses today. So do you if you've been saved. If I'm going to have freedom, I must have security. Now, what is the nature of this new relationship? It's the unchanging act of grace. My relationship with my God cannot change. My relationship cannot change. My fellowship can change, but not my relationship. Our position in Christ firms up the security of the believer, that relationship with Christ. What is the basis, by the way, of your security? You say, well, preacher, I got a bunch of money in the bank and IRAs, and hold it. You can lose every bit of that money. There is no security in money. None. My position at work, you can get fired from work. You can lose your job, they can downsize, surprise you altogether and tell you you're done. Your security is not in your job. It's not in your position, it's not in your money. There is no basis for security in life except our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Once I learned that in my life, that I have no security outside of being in the Lord Jesus Christ, once I learned that, it set me free. I don't try to have security in money. I don't try to have security in positions. I don't try to have security in power. My security is already established. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the reason some of us in this room don't have the security we need is because our position is real shaky with the Lord. We've got to understand that position. I want to explain what your position is in Christ. Christ Jesus, which is the basic foundational truth that will set us free. Because I believe until we have that understanding, I will not be totally free. So let's look at the scripture and see what we can discover about what is my position. Now, somebody can say to me, you know, preacher, I feel so very insecure. If you're a child of God, you should never say that. Because your security is always in Jesus. Always. Would you write this verse down and go to it? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Now here's what the Bible says. What is my position? What is your position? If I'm going to have security, I've got to have position. I've got to know my position in life. What's my position? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. When I was in my sins, I was dead in trespasses and sins. God brought me back. Now, when God placed me in Christ, he brought me out of my position of being dead in my trespasses and sins. I was in Adam. I was dead in my trespasses and sins, my transgressions. But God took me out of Adam and put me in Christ. And when he did that, he reconciled me. That word reconciled means he brought me back to himself. God brought me back. Now I'm with God. I'm in a position of oneness with my God. I've been saved, born again. So have you. If you've been saved, born again, what is your position? I am reconciled with God. Somebody shout that out to me. What is your position? I am. Hey, what were you like when you were in sin? You were what? I was lost. I was dead in sin. I was lost in my transgressions. I committed all kinds of sins. I was in Adam. I was dying and headed for hell. But now that I've gotten saved, I'm now in Christ. I'm now in Christ, and I'm one with him because I have been reconciled. Would one, just more than one people, person say, I am, I am, I am, I'm brought back to God. Now, if you've never been saved, if you've never trusted Christ, you're still an enemy of God. Preacher, I'm not an enemy of God. The Bible says you are. If you're not saved, you're an enemy of God. You're separated from God. But once you get saved, I come to the Lord Jesus Christ. My position is I am. Once I come to Jesus Christ, I'm saved. I then now have become
reconciled,
brought back to God. Remember that word. I'm going to ask you to say it again. I am reconciled. Not only that, but go to John chapter 1, verse 12. Not only am I reconciled, but as many as believe, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Not only am I reconciled, but I'm also a son of God. When I got saved, I became a son of God. Some of you ladies are daughters of God. I'm no longer an enemy. I'm no longer a stranger. I'm no longer an enemy. I've been reconciled. I'm a son. Help me out. What's the first thing that happened to me after I got saved? I became reconciled. I also then became a son of God, a child of God. You are somebody. Number three, go with me, please, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, 19, there, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. I'm no longer a stranger. I used to be a stranger. I'm no longer an alien. No, sir. I'm part of the family. Hey, when I got saved, I'm part of the family. We're all part of the family, folks. Help me out. Three things already we have discovered. I have been, since salvation, I have been reconciled. I'm also a son of God. I'm also part of the great family of God. Part of this great family. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians 1, 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. I love that. Here's the power of darkness. Here's in Adam. He delivered us from the power of darkness. And what's it say next? He translated us. Is that what it says? He trans. What's that word translate mean? Moved us over here. He translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Here's the son's kingdom. He took us out of the pit. He took us out of darkness. He took us out of sin. He picked us up and translated us and put us over here in the kingdom of God. Who did that? God did that through the power of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not some game. This is something special. God's salvation is wonderful. He picks us up from the pit, out of the darkness, out of being in Adam, alienated enemies, translated us and paid us over there in his kingdom. I am now son of God. Help me out. I have been reconciled. I have become a, I'm part of the, and now number four, I'm part of the kingdom. I'm part of the great kingdom of God. He translated me from the kingdom of darkness over here to the kingdom of his dear son. Do you see it? This will change your life if you let it. I mean, this is powerful stuff. This is God's word. Part of the rule and reign of our position is changed. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. You know these verses really, really well. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We know those verses so well. But I want you to get your Bible, everybody. Now, it's going to be on the screen, but let's get the Bible again and go to Ephesians chapter 2. But I want you to look at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. There it is again. That's how you used to be. When in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. My new position. What's my new position? Give me those four things I've already talked about. First of all, I have been reconciled. I am now a son of God. I'm part of the family of God. I'm also part of the great kingdom of God. And now, according to these verses, he's taken the real you and he seated you in him in heavenly places. Seated at the Father's right hand. You say, I'm down here. I know. It's amazing. I can't hardly even explain it. We are down here. And also, we're up there. Because we're in him. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Out of Adam, into Christ. Out of Adam, into Christ. You see, here's what happened. Past tense verbs, watch. Jesus died, what do we do? Jesus died, I died. Jesus was buried, I was buried. Jesus rose, I rose. Jesus ascended, I ascended. Woo, glory. Here's about the spot, you ought to just shout a little bit. Come on, amen. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and guess where I'm at? I'm in him, seated at the right hand of the Father in the glory world. I'm in Christ. Now you think about that. We are in him, seated at the Father's right hand. How in the world am I going to be lost if I'm already seated there? I'm in him. Seated at the Father's right hand. I'm there. There's coming a glad day when the rapture of the church takes place. And we're there forever with him. Well, I just don't feel that way, preacher. I just don't feel it. I don't care about your feeling. Have I told you the truth from the Scripture? Yes. That truth will set you free. You see, I was all tied up with all kinds of feelings myself. Torn. Not knowing what to believe, how to believe it. I was trying to follow everybody's dogma. That's not what we need. We need the truth. From the book, John says, and the truth shall set you free. Now, that truth that makes us set free, we have to stand for, even though it means going against maybe the dogma we had heard as a child. And sometimes it's a little difficult, but we've got to take a stand for the book. If you're in Christ, the only way for anything to touch you down here is for Christ to allow it up there. You are so very secure. Do you realize that nothing will touch you unless God knows it? Nothing will ever touch you unless God knows it. You think God knows about all of us in this room tonight? Do you think that God knows about Nate? Come on, help me out. Do you think God knows about Nate? Do you think God knows about little Emma? We don't. That's why we weep. That's why we cry. That's why we're a little fearful, because we don't know. But God wants us to get in on it so we can know. Just trust me, he says. Just believe in me. Put all your weight on me. Remove your bondages and remove your fears. Just trust me. You see, what do I have to fear or be insecure about if I realize I am reconciled? I'm a son. I'm a fellow citizen. I'm part of the kingdom. And I'm already seated there in heavenly places with him. Give feelings up to trust in the testimony of the Word of God. I am in Christ. My security is in him. I have no relationship with Christ. I have no security. But with relationship with Christ, I have great security. You know, part of the problem, Brother Ron, with folks in RU, when they come and they can't stay stable, it's only because they haven't found that foundation yet of in Christ. Once they get that in their head, just like church members, once we get that in our minds, once I know the book, the teaching of the Word of God, once I get it, the truth is revealed to me, I'm set free, I'm liberated. I have great trust in God. Don't listen to the devil tonight. Well, I don't feel like it, preacher. Your feelings will cause you to have bondage. Bondage of feelings will bind you for the rest of your life. You got to trust what God says. The testimony of the Word of God. Look at John chapter 8, verse 32, one more time. Give all your bondages and all your feelings up to the Word of God. John chapter 8, verse number 32, and you shall know the truth. And what's it say next? And the truth shall make you free. Go down to verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, I did not write this, Jesus said this, ye shall be free indeed. Whatever that bondage is, whatever that fear is, whatever that inferiority complex is, whatever that anxiety is, we need to come again tonight and just give that to God and let God take care of that. He wants to because he loves you. If you've never trusted him as your personal Savior, you need to trust him tonight as personal Savior. The truth that sets a man free. This is it. It's right here. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.